A moment ago, Scott led us in a song, "None of Self and All of Thee." What verse of that song are you singing right now? The first verse says, "None of self, all of self, and none of thee." The second verse says, "Some of self and some of thee." The third verse, "Less of self and more of thee." And the fourth verse, "None of self and all of thee." Which of those verses is the verse that we're singing? And while tonight we may deal with some historical circumstances that may seem far removed from us, the final issue in this passage that we're looking at tonight is the same as the issue described in that psalm. Are we going to do our will, or are we going to do His will? Let's explain the context of Jeremiah 42 and 43. 587 BC, the Babylonians had laid siege to the city of Jerusalem for a year and a half. They finally breached the wall of the city of Jerusalem. They invade the city. They burn the city, destroy the city, and burn the temple, which was a special sign of God's dwelling among the people. The people are taken into captivity. It was a devastating string of events that took place, and it is only by the grace of God that the people and their faith survived at all from that series of circumstances. They had gotten themselves into problems by their own sin, and God handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. But after the last king of Judah was removed, Zedekiah, and treated shamefully, the Babylonians set a governor over the land by the name of Gedaliah. Gedaliah makes an appeal to all the Jews who were still holding out against the Babylonians to come back and to submit to him. To serve the king of Babylon and to serve under him, and all would be well with them. And it does seem like originally in Jeremiah 40 and Jeremiah 41 that when the people did this and the people submitted to Gedaliah and submitted to the Babylonians, that there was a period of peace. We don't know exactly how long it lasted. It is not recorded that it lasted this long or what year it took place. But there was originally a time of peace. But tragedy strikes when a man by the name of Ishmael, one of the military commanders of the people of God, he kills Gedaliah. And as a result of that, chaos ensues. Ishmael ultimately is overcome by one of the military commanders of Judah by the name of Johanan. You read of this in Jeremiah 41 and verse 11. But the people of Judah, the Jews, have killed Gedaliah, whom the Babylonians appointed governor of the land, and they have experienced these times of difficulty and crisis. But they come to Jeremiah with a question. Jeremiah has been vindicated as a prophet of God because all of his words have come to pass. All that he spoke against the land of Jerusalem, or against the city of Jerusalem and the temple, came to pass. And the people come to him in Jeremiah 42, verses 1 through 6, and they state, "Jeremiah, we want to know the will of the Lord. We want to know what the Lord would have us to do." And these are the options. We want you to tell us whether we should stay right here in the land of Judah or whether we should go to the land of Egypt. That's what we want to know. Now, you notice in verse 1, the name of these commanders who gathered with all the people, both small and great, they came to Jeremiah. And let's read the text, beginning here in verse 2. Please let our petition come before you and pray for us to the Lord your God, that is all this remnant, because we are left but a few out of many, as your own eyes now see us, that the Lord your God may tell us the way in which we should walk and the thing which we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to him, I have heard you. Behold, I'm going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance with your words, and it will come about that the whole message which the Lord will answer you, I will tell you. I will not keep back a word from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send you to us, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. We will listen to the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, in order that it may go well with you when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. So in these verses, the military commanders and all the people, small and great, they all gather to Jeremiah and they said, Jeremiah, we want you to ask God what we should do. Should we stay in the land? Or should we go to Egypt? And we're going to do whatever you tell us to do, whether it is pleasant or whether it is unpleasant. Do you remember the story that God has told Joshua to utterly destroy those that dwell in the land of Canaan? And the text tells us that the people of an Israelite city or a Canaanite city by the name of Gibeon, they realize that resistance is futile. And so what they do is they come to Israel and they say, listen, we have come from a far country, because we have heard about the greatness of your God. We have heard how your God has dried up the waters of the Red Sea and let the people cross over on dry ground. We have heard what your God did to Sihon and Og. We have heard of the greatness of your God. And we want to make a covenant with you. The sons of Israel were at least a little suspicious. And they said, wait, how do we know that you've come from a far country? How do we know that you don't live right here in this land? The people of Gibeon had done their homework. They knew that Deuteronomy 20, verses 10 through 18, says that the people of Judah were allowed to make a covenant with those who live far away, but you cannot make a covenant with those who live right there in the land. And so they claimed to come from a faraway country, and they said, look at these sandals that we're wearing. These sandals were brand new when we set out on the journey. And look how worn and torn they are. And look at our wineskins, and look at how bad they look. They were brand new when we started out on this journey. Or look at how dry and moldy this bread is. This bread was fresh out of the oven when we started this journey. The children of Israel looked at their provisions, but they did not inquire of God. They did not inquire of God. The reason I'm using this illustration at this point is to say it is a good thing that the people come to Jeremiah and they say, Jeremiah, we want to know what the Lord would have us to do. And we're going to do whatever He tells us, whether it's pleasant or whether it's unpleasant. Because we see places in Israelite history where they had gotten themselves into trouble because they hadn't inquired of God, because they hadn't sought God's will. And I might add, sometimes in my personal life, maybe you could say the same thing about yourself, that we have made major decisions about the direction of our life without praying and asking for God's guidance. Sometimes I've been guilty of committing that same sin that Israel did in Joshua 9. But so far in Jeremiah 42, we're off to a good start. We're off to a very good start because the people are inquiring of God and they say, God, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to stay in the land? Do you want us to go to Egypt? And we're going to do whatever you tell us to do. Now, I want you all to listen to this next point. Even those of you who are youngest among us. And I think, as we may demonstrate in just a second, that even the youngest can understand the answer to this question. The question is, should we stay in the land or should we go to Egypt? Jeremiah waits 10 days before he answers in verse 7. And I think what that demonstrates is he does not want to give an answer simply from how he feels or what he thinks. He wants to wait until the Lord reveals His will to him as a prophet of God. But the Lord reveals His will after 10 days. Should we stay in the land or should we go to Egypt? Well, in verses 10 through 12 of Jeremiah 42, if you will indeed stay in this land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. For I shall relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. I will also show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your own soil. If you're familiar with the book of Jeremiah, you recognize here in verse 10 that this language of building and tearing down, of planting and uprooting, is language that is used often in the book of Jeremiah. It was used in Jeremiah's call in Jeremiah 1 in verses 9 and 10 to describe the type of work that he would be doing. But God says, if you stay in the land, the question is, should we stay in the land? Should we stay in the land or should we go down to Egypt? And he says, if you stay in the land, I'm going to build you up. I'm not going to tear you down. I'm going to plant you. I'm not going to uproot you. If you stay in the land, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him, for I am with you to save you and deliver you. God told those words, or words similar to those, to Jeremiah at his call in Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19. And now in verse 11, God says, I will save you, I will deliver you, I will show compassion on you. These are all the good things that are going to happen if you stay in the land. If you stay in the land. On the other hand, the question, should we go to Egypt or stay in the land? He shows the disaster that will follow if they go down to Egypt. If they say in verse 13, we will not stay in this land. If you say that in verse 15, if you really set your mind to enter Egypt and go and reside there, then it will come about that the sword which you are afraid of will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine about which you are anxious will follow closely after you there in Egypt, and you will die. So all the men who set their mind to go to Egypt to reside there will die by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And they will have no survivors or refugees from the calamity that I am going to bring on them. The words sword, famine, and pestilence are used over and over and over again in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, who has used these words for the people who are in the city of Jerusalem, now says, if you go to Egypt, you're going to experience these. You're going to experience sword, famine, and pestilence. He says this again in verse 22. Clearly, you should now, therefore, you should now clearly understand that you will die by sword, famine, and pestilence in the place where you wish to go to reside there. Okay, this is my question. We're going to answer this with a show of hands. Now, I'm not going to check IDs, but I want the people who are under 10 to answer this question. Okay? The question is to Jeremiah, should we stay in the land? Or should we go to Egypt? How many people think that Jeremiah's answer is, go to Egypt. That's what you need to do. You need to go to Egypt. Is that any of you? Okay. How many of you think the answer is, stay in Jude? Just a couple of folks. I think there are more people under 10 that are not voting. But we have a couple of votes that say the answer is stay in the land. That's right, isn't it? The answer is stay in the land. It's stay in the land. You know the point we're trying to illustrate? They said, Lord, you tell us whatever you want us to do. And we're going to do what you tell us to do. If it's pleasant, or if it's unpleasant. I don't think there was a single person who listened to Jeremiah's answer here in Jeremiah 42, verses 7 through 22, and say, I don't understand what you're thinking. You're being too ambiguous for me. I think this answer couldn't be any plainer. He is telling them exactly what he would have them to do. He is saying, don't go down to Egypt. And this is my point. This isn't hard to understand. Peter told us that some of Paul's writings were hard to understand. If Peter says that, who am I to say otherwise? I'm not saying there aren't difficult portions of Scripture. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that it doesn't take deep study and thought and reflection at times to put the message of the book together. I'm not denying that. But I am saying this. that a lot of the questions that so trouble people and perplex people, and people wonder, what way should I go and what should I do? The answers to those questions at times are simple, aren't they? The answer to the question right here is simple. God's answer is clear. So the people have come and the people have said, we want to know your will and we're going to do your will. We're going to do whatever you tell us, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. And Jeremiah speaks to them in plain and simple terms and says, do not go down to Egypt. You stay in the land. That settles it. That's the end of the matter. They're all going to do it and live happily ever after, aren't they? Well, look at Jeremiah 43. In verses 1 through 7, it came about as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished all the words of the Lord their God, that is all these words. I want you to notice how verse 1 stresses to us that the Lord had sent Jeremiah. The Lord had sent Jeremiah. And the words that Jeremiah was telling the people were the words of the Lord. It could not be any clearer in verse 1 that Jeremiah's message was from God. But the text tells us that Azariah and Johanan and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah in verse 2, you are telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you are not to enter Egypt to reside there. You're telling a lie, Jeremiah. You're not telling the truth. Well, verse 1 just told us that the Lord God had sent him. Verse 1 had told us that he was speaking all the words of the Lord their God. But they say, you're telling a lie. The Lord hasn't sent you to say this message to us. The Lord hasn't sent you to tell us not to enter Egypt. In verse 3, they accused Baruch, who is Jeremiah's scribe, of stirring up Jeremiah and getting Jeremiah to give such an answer. So in verse 4, Johanan the son of Kareah and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to stay in the land of Judah. Verse 7 will come back and says they entered the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. They have come to God. They have vowed to God that, God, whatever you tell us to do, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do exactly what you would have us to do. And when God makes his will clear, you know what they did? They did what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted. That's what they did. Do you know what it is? Most people believe. Most people practice religiously. Most people believe what they want to believe. And they do what they want to do. It is the rare person that comes to God honest says to God, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I will do. Whether it is pleasant, whether it's unpleasant, that's what I'm going to do. That person is the exception, unfortunately. Not the rule. But are we that way? Are we one of those people? Our eternal destiny depends on us. Are we saying, like Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to know what you say, and I want to do it. Is that our attitude? Or is our attitude
that we were looking to adjust something we've already decided is wrong. A couple of years ago, either Newsweek or Wired, I can't remember which one, comes out with a lead article. Some people are using the Bible to argue against same-sex marriage. But actually, the Bible presents the other case. It argues for it. Jesus, who said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they'll no longer be two but one flesh. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. Where do you get the idea that God approves of something? But see, many people make a picture of opening the Bible and turning to the Bible to defend whatever they want to believe and whatever they want to do. But this happens on all kinds of levels. Several years ago, a preacher told me the story that he had a lady come to him. He had known her a little, but not well. But she came to him, much like the Israelites came to Jeremiah. And she said, I want to know what the Lord would have to do. And I want to do. He took her at face value. They sat down and they talked together. She explained her circumstance. And she explained how she had lived her life. And she said, should I marry again? Should I marry again? He listened to all the things that she said. They read scripture together. And he said, in light of what you're saying, I really would say to you that you shouldn't. She asked 100 preachers who told her the same thing. But finally, somewhere after 100, she found another one who said, sure, go ahead, remarry. When she had that answer, that was all she needed. Now, was that search a diligent search to find out just what God would have them to do, and then I'm going to follow whatever He has me to do? Or was it an effort to justify yourself on the basis of the Scripture? But again, it doesn't have to be one of those issues for us to refuse to listen to God. I can remember a few years ago that a preacher telling me that someone in the congregation that they came up to him and they just finished a study of Acts. And he says, I've been studying the book of Acts. And he says, I tell you, I just don't think we need to be evangelizing. I don't think we need to be teaching other people. You got that from the book of Acts? Of all books? How in the world do you get that out of the book? I want to tell you, I know that at some level, this is hard. This is a temptation for every one of us to somehow go our way and not His way. But what God asks of you is a complete surrender to Him. A complete surrender to say none of self and all of thee. To say, I'm not going to do my thing and my will and walk in my path, but I'm going to walk in His path. That's what God asks of every one of us. I would say that to follow any other path is destructive. In Jeremiah 43, verses 8 through 13, Jeremiah has another message to give, and it is that because you have not listened to me, and because you have gone into the land of Egypt contrary to what I've told you, God is going to bring judgment upon you. To refuse to listen to God is the path of disaster and destruction. Let us pray. O Lord our God, it is not our will that matters. It is yours. It is your will that matters. And we pray, Lord, that you help us surrender ourselves and our will to you. Help us to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Forgive us, O Lord, for times that we have walked our own way, we have done our own thing, that we have said our will and not your will. Forgive us of the times that we have done that, and help us to walk in your path and do things that are pleasing in your sight. Help us to be a community of people who surrenders to your will, knowing that you love us and you have our best interest at heart. Keep us close to you and bring us home to heaven. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that He rose, if you're willing to turn from your sins in repentance and be baptized into Jesus Christ to wash away your sins, we invite you to do what He said, to listen to His voice about how to seek His forgiveness. If we can help you, the brethren here can help you to follow Him this night, they'd be glad to do so as we stand.
Here.